House come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Welcome to Capital Ideas, the podcast where members of the majority Democrats in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. I'm truly sorry to say that this is the final Capital Ideas episode of the 2026 legislative session in Olympia. The good news, though, is that today's idea-generating member of the House Democratic Caucus is Representative April Berg, who hails from Mill Creek in Snohomish County and serves as chair of the House Finance Committee. That's the panel that, along with the Senate Ways and Means Committee, is responsible for raising the revenue that the Evergreen State needs to provide an array of services to all 8 million of us who are fortunate enough to call this our home. If you want to take a special look at how government functions in this Washington, you're in the right place. We recorded this conversation in Mill Creek, Washington, on Thursday, April 9th, 2026, and you'll hear it now. I am here with Representative April Berg from the 44th Legislative District. You're the chair of the House Finance Committee. This is your fourth year as chair of that key committee in the Washington State House. Anything exciting happened in that committee this year?
We did a little thing. We did the millionaire's tax this year, which is an income tax on income over $1 million. So your first milli's free, but that dollar after your first million, that's what we'll be taxing at 9.9%, much like our 41 other states. And of course, states, you know, like Idaho, like Oregon, like California already have an income tax.
One of the arguments against this tax that we heard from quite a few angles in the lead up to the passage was that this is going to cause a mass exodus of millionaires from Washington State. But the fact is, there's only a couple of places they can go in the whole country and actually make that a smart move. Otherwise, it would be financially kind of dumb.
Well, and if they're moving simply for tax avoidance, right? So if you're going to, there's most other states, you're going to end up paying not only income tax, but more income tax. And even when I talk to folks who move to places like Texas that doesn't have an income tax, but they have very high property taxes, they make our property taxes look low. And I will tell you, our property taxes are not low. So it's, you know, it costs money to run government. Taxes pay for things. So when I hear people say, oh, I want to go here to avoid these taxes, what I hear them saying is, I don't want to pay my public school teachers. I don't want to pay my police officers. I really don't care about my firefighters. Taxes pay for all of those things. Government is people. People is community. And we have to have something to run on, and that is taxes.
I went to a high school in a school district that names all their high schools after former Chief Justices of the United States.
Oh.
And so my high school was Oliver Wendell Holmes High School in San Antonio, Texas, as a matter of fact. And one of the things he is most famous for having said was, taxes are what we pay for civilized society.
Yes.
That has stuck with me. I learned that in high school. And ever since then, I don't love taxes. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not pay them myself, but they don't freak me out the way they seem to a lot of people.
Yeah, taxes aren't punitive. You know, when people say, oh, you know, taxes, that's it's horrible and this and that. If your community is not one that you want to support, I suppose you may think that. But what I've noticed talking to people, people love their community. They are okay paying for their park down the street, maybe their local school, maybe their local bridge or sidewalks. But it's when you get into the bigger picture. And what folks have to understand is that everybody loves their community. So I don't know why you love the park, that crazy park near you that has the hill and the slope and the thing and the that. But because we're a civilized community, I think it's okay that my taxes go to pay for that park, just like I have parks in my community that also taxes pay for. So we just have to realize we're all in it together.
Your background, for the most part, prior to becoming a lawmaker, I don't know about for the most part, but heavily focused on education issues. Mm-hmm. I recall that we talked about the fact that you started out here in the legislature about 6 years ago as a member of the Education Committee, but that now that you're leadership role is so demanding as the chair of finance that you're not on the education committee anymore. But I think you still kind of keep your hand in over there, don't you?
I do. It's education is a passion point for me. I'm a two-time recovering school board director. I've got, you know, four kiddos who've all gone through public education. But really, when we look at our state, education is our paramount duty. And so upwards of 43 to 48% of our tax dollars, of our general fund spending, go to education as a result. Very proud of that. And I think there's needs still there in education. So I'm always keeping abreast of what's going on.
The millionaire's tax is not the only thing that the House Finance Committee and the Senate Ways and Means Committee focused on this year. Mm-hmm. There were other things in your portfolio of bills that you sponsored and in the scores of bills that came through the Finance Committee. What stands out from other than the millionaire's tax?
Yeah, well, I think the interesting thing about the millionaire's tax is that it contains a lot of bills. When I look at what the millionaire's tax does, it doesn't just tax the $1 over a million. It actually provides tax relief, and some of that tax relief were in other bills. So we decided to place in the millionaire's tax the sales tax on services relief that we gave to school districts, that we gave to before and after school programs and things like that, to some of our live presentations. We gave a lot of tax relief, and so that was in there. We also expanded our working family tax credit, which was something we've been trying forever to do. So now from 18 on, you can be eligible for working family tax credit. We also did sales tax exemptions on products you see in your grocery cart every single day. And I've heard every year I'm here, I've seen a bill in House Finance on diaper tax exemptions. And so we were finally able to get diaper tax exemptions via the millionaire's tax, as well as exemptions on over-the-counter drugs and personal hygiene products. So, and then in addition to that, we do have that additional, that higher threshold for small business filing. If you're a small business with under $300,000 in revenue, you no longer have to pay B&O. So it's amazing.
There's a lot of people in the state that may not know it yet, but they're going to be spending less on taxes.
Yeah. And let's be clear, you know, expanding our working family tax credit, we are going to add about 460,000 people or 1,000 households to the rolls. And so what that looks like is now if you are a married couple with three children, and if combined you earn $137,000 or less, you will be eligible now for a credit. And $137,000 is, of course, it's even if that number, it seems big, six figures. I know when I was in school, that was like, oh my gosh, it's so much money. I know that it does not go a long ways, but families with that type of income will now be getting a credit. Our working family tax credit is a credit on sales tax paid. So it's another way to give families tax relief. And again, we bake that into the millionaire's tax.
I think one way of looking at this for listeners is, if you don't know what the working families tax credit is, good for you. You're in pretty good shape.
You're in pretty good shape. But I will say more people qualify for it than take advantage of it. So it is something, I think, especially with the expansion, when you do your taxes, in I think it starts in 2029, definitely be on the lookout for that credit. And of course, the credit as well as the income levels are targeted to inflation. So the credits will continue to kind of inch up, as well as those income thresholds.
I don't know if we've mentioned this or not yet, but the millionaire's tax will kick in 2028, I believe.
Yep, but the first payments will be due 29.
Right, on tax year 2028.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the million tax bracket, just try to earn a lot in 27, and you'll be in good shape.
There you go.
I'm looking at my notes here, and I have a check mark next to the words Penny's bill. Mm-hmm. And I think that means that I was reading about your bill sponsorships, and I noticed that you sponsored the bill that is kind of a reaction to the federal government deciding that since it costs about a nickel to make a penny, that we're not going to make pennies anymore.
Yeah, and thank you for asking about my good little penny bill, because that to me is the second piece of historic legislation I was a part of this year. Back in May of 2025, we heard as fiscal chairs nationwide from the federal government that they were going to discontinue minting the penny. To our federal government partners, they thought this was no big deal. They're like, what's the big deal? We'll just discontinue a currency. I was told in May, you know, you guys can just go write some laws and just just fix it. It was very clear we were not going to get help from the federal government in terms of, you know, what to do, how to round, signage, and a lot of other issues and questions that come around this. I don't think they knew that the state legislatures were not full time. I think they really did think we were kind of on recess and y'all just go back and write a couple of bills. Well, once they realized that wasn't the case, they extended the timing for the discontinuation of the penny, which was great, but they still gave us no rules. So when we came in January, I thought, oh, we have to do something. Now, mind you, a lot of my colleagues and even some folks in community were like, what's the big deal? It's a penny. Like, rounding's easy. You know, give me a nickel or I don't get anything back, or et cetera. Rounding up, rounding down. Well, as a customer, if it's not going to round in your favor, you're kind of mad. You want that 3 cents. And then as a business, if you take the hit, or if you, you know, if it's rounded in your favor, does that have B&O implications? For the assessors, is that a gift of public funds? There's a lot of questions. When do you do your transactions in cash versus a credit card if you're doing mixed tender? And does this only apply to cash? And can I use exact change? So all of those questions, which seems so simple, we had to address in the bill. And so by the end of it, the retailers and small businesses, assessors were very happy that we now have rules of the road.
And that bill was put before Governor Ferguson and yes. Got his signature on it.
It did. And it was, to me, it was probably one of the highlights of the year.
I want to kind of hark back to 2023 and talk to you about something we talked about then, mm-hmm. which was, you're a member of the House Democratic Caucus.
Yep.
You're a Democrat, you're a member of that caucus, just by virtue of the fact that you were elected. But you're also a voluntary member of four other caucuses, the Legislative Black Caucus, mm-hmm. the Members of Color Caucus, mm-hmm. the Food Fighters,
yep.
and the Fur Fighters.
Yes.
Let's kind of go in reverse and just a quick summary of how things went with the Fur Fighters Caucus and the Food Fighters this year.
Yeah, so the Fur Fighters, I am so happy our caucus is growing and growing, with so many of my colleagues really wanted to do bills around animal rights and animal protection. This particular year, and I think last year, Representative Peterson had a good little bill that was on preemptively prohibiting octopus farming. That was a great bill. This year, Rep. Parshley had a great bill on allowing our veterinarians to do more telemedicine, which will allow more people to see vets from the comfort of their home. We also had a bill that didn't get signed into law around declawing of cats and making that illegal in our state unless it's for very extreme cases. That one, I think, will be coming back next year. So I love the fact that so many of my colleagues are really wanting to do more legislatively to protect animals.
This is the biggest Members of Color Caucus in the history of this state.
Yeah.
I think 28 members.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had one more, that would be more than half of the caucus.
That's true.
What was the focus of the Members of Color Caucus this year? I'm kind of thinking the word affordability is what comes to mind.
Yeah, affordability, absolutely. The great thing about the Members of Color Caucus as well as the Legislative Black Caucus is that we're not a monolith. And so to your point, both are historically large for our state, and they're also representing diverse districts. So we're not all from, you know, the same district, the same county, the same region even. So affordability, I think, was something we heard loud and clear from every part of the state. And then, of course, equity, and equity being baked in. And so not equity for equity's sake, but really being baked into everything we do. I was really proud of the work that Rep. Stearns did as the chair of the Members of Color Caucus, and really just guiding us forward with an equity lens in all the bills that came from the House.
And you're a member of the Legislative Black Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
Were there priority bills for that group?
Yeah, we had some priority bills this year. One was codifying our community reinvestment program, and that did pass. The other was domestic workers protection bill, and that passed as well. Our third priority was around juvenile rehabilitation. Unfortunately, that did not pass, but we will be coming back next year to have more conversations.
That certainly got some good conversations this year, and I know that there were people that wanted to do more and wanted people that wanted to do less. Mm-hmm. And so good luck next session.
Yeah, exactly.
The last two that you mentioned, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
What does the Community Reinvestment Program do? That sounds pretty nerdy.
Yeah, CRP was something started, I believe it started a year before I got here, and it was a way for us to reinvest into communities that were just decimated by the war on drugs. So if you remember, we now have cannabis is legal. We actually had a lot of folks who were still serving time for when it was illegal. I think we're getting to the point where most folks are out of jail if that was their only offense. But the community reinvestment is just what it sounds like, reinvesting in communities that were harmed by the war on drugs. And so each year there's a commitment, a dollar commitment to that program, but the program was not codified as a program in statute. So this year, not only was there a monetary investment that will have to be renewed biennially, but there was a codification of the program itself. So that was a big win.
How about the Boys and Men Commission?
That did not make it. It did not see the light of day on the House floor. It was really unfortunate. There was a great coalition, a really big push, but it came out of committee, came out of appropes, had a great bipartisan coalition of folks behind it, and unfortunately the decision was made not to put it on the floor.
As someone who identifies as a man and once was a boy, mm-hmm. I was very interested in that. I know we talked about this bill earlier during the session, and I was real sorry to not see it go farther.
Me too. But it'll be back next year, I can promise.
As they say in baseball, there's always next year.
Yes.
What was your moonshot bill this year?
You know, I tell you, the moonshot, and thank you for bringing that up, because, you know, that's something that seems absolutely impossible, but then becomes completely necessary. And I will say the moonshot bill this year was the millionaire's tax. And the reason for that is because when you see the devastating cuts at the federal government to our state, in terms of food security, in terms of housing and homelessness supports, in terms of Medicaid, and just caring for people, the cuts are cruel and they undermine our basic values and humanity. That said, we're a donor state. We give more to the federal government than we get. And the math was just not mathing. So we had to find ways not just to make our tax code more fair, but to make it more robust so that we can continue to provide the services that families across our state need. That's why this was something, as you know, an income tax seemed incredibly impossible. And this year it became absolutely necessary.
That sounds like a moonshot. And it's interesting that as we're talking about this,
yeah,
there are people on the
way
back.
There are people on the moon. Thank you for that. It's amazing. Whatever you think about anything about government and you know, good, bad, or otherwise, can we all not just get happy that we have men and women above us right now, literally going around the moon? That is a moonshot.
It's very special. As someone who watched in 1969, when the first footsteps were put on the moon by humans, at least, and now I get to watch this. This is pretty exciting.
Well, and I think it restores faith, right? Faith, hope is emotional fuel. And to do this job and to do any job, you need a little bit of hope right now. So you talk about 1969, and I can talk about the Challenger mission. I was in fifth grade, and the cart, you know, the TV was on a cart. It was rolled into the classroom, and things didn't go the way they were supposed to. And I think as a fifth grader, and you know, there were some sixth graders, I'm sure there were high school kids, depending on what age you were in that moment, it was the first time you realized in life that sometimes things don't go the way they're planned. And you also realize sometimes adults don't know what to do when that happens. Because if you were in any of those classrooms when Challenger happened, you saw adults completely lose it, because it was horrific and unplanned. So to go from that moment to seeing Artemis to up there above us, that was real hope. That was good stuff.
Chair Berg, before I let you go, which is necessary to do right now, I want to recommend that people go back and listen to the podcast from April of 2023, which is available on the House Democratic Caucus website, because there is a lot of information, very interesting information about you and your background that we haven't been able to cover today because of time limitations. So I do suggest that people do that. If they find Representative Berg to be interesting as I do, I think they will benefit from listening to that. Now, what have you got as a quick wrap-up?
Oh my gosh, as a quick wrap-up, I tell you, you know, passing legislation is great. implementing it is hard. So my wrap up and my interim will be spent implementing and really talking to community about our new millionaire's tax, socializing it, and also making sure we get it right. Because I will say, writing tax code is not easy. So working with the good men and women at DOR, working with a lot of amazing staffers, we're going to go ahead and put the fine points on this so that when we roll out in 2028, it will be absolutely perfect.
Congratulations again, and thank you, April. Representative April Berg has been our guest today on Capital Ideas, and this is the end of it.
Thank you.
Well, that's Representative April Berg, and that's Capital Ideas for Season 18. If you take this opportunity to subscribe, you'll know exactly when Season 19 kicks off in January 2027. This is your state government, and what happens here matters more now than any time in the entire 137-year history of the Evergreen State. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first and working together for One Washington since 1889. Thanks for your time.